And hopefully we can keep you awake after you get full of food here. Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and jump in. I know with the food tonight, we're getting started just a little bit late. And so I just want to jump right in tonight. Guys, I missed you guys last week. How was last week? Was it good? Who taught last week? Courtney, Miss Courtney. She do a good job? I'm sure she did. She always does. And I was in Grow Track 3. We tried to be as loud as we could. Could you hear us? Yeah, a little bit? Okay, good. We tried hard because Talia was always loud when I'm teaching in here, and she's over there. So I told them, I said, you better be as loud as you are when Pastor Talia's in here. So, well, guys, week 6, can you believe it? You're halfway through the semester. It's just crazy. And has it been a good semester for you? What's been your favorite part? Just a couple answers real quick. Your favorite part of Grow Track 2, anything? Moldova? John, last week, yeah, he came into Grow Track 3 as well. That was good, wasn't it? That was good. Did somebody say the food on week 6? That's good, right? Anything else? The soap method? Yeah, awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, it's been good, guys, and we're so glad that you guys are sticking with it, and we'll be off next week for spring break, and make sure that you get back the week next after that and get jumped right back in, and it's going to be a great rest of the semester, the second half of it. Well, guys, what did you learn about last week? What was it about? Integrity and character, right? Good job, guys. Well, I know we're going to recap just a little bit, and I'm going to kind of go through this part just a little bit fast just because we are a little bit behind tonight. But character, just to remind you guys, the definition that you spoke of, that you talked about last week, was one's moral and ethical code of values and behaviors and cultivating Christ-like character. That's what this new section's about. That's what Grow Track 2 is about, is cultivating a Christ-like character in our lives. And this requires us to be intentional and to be deliberate, right? And if we're going to have character and if we're going to have integrity, we've got to be intentional and deliberate in the process of the development that we're in. And we never get out of this process, this development that God's got us in. And y'all looked at an example of some rivers and canals, and y'all talked about that a little bit, used that as an example last week, saw some pictures of it. And as Christ followers, we are to be intentional and consistently try to live like Jesus. Does this mean we have to be perfect? No, right? We're never going to be perfect. But man, Jesus is that ultimate example for us, and we want to strive towards that. We want to cultivate Christ-like character, convictions, conduct in our lives, and that's what we're going to be talking about, continue talking about tonight. And then integrity. The definition of integrity was steadfast and adherence to a moral or ethical code. And y'all were given a quote, I think, last week by a guy named John Kilpatrick. It says, integrity requires harmony between what we do and what we say, right? And I thought of this when I read that. You can talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk, right? I mean, if you've heard that before in life. And I think of that when we read that quote and we think of this idea of integrity. We can talk all we want. We can talk a big game, even as a believer, right? But if we don't walk the walk, then something's missing, right? And so as we live in integrity, we don't want to just talk the talk. We want to walk the walk, and people actually see that lived out in our lives, right? James chapter 2, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so character is one's moral and ethical code. Integrity means that one lives according to that moral and ethical code, that character. Thus, those who live lives of integrity consistently live according to Christ's moral values and model his character. We're not going to be perfect, like I said, but man, when we strive towards that character, that integrity, man, we begin to look more and more like Jesus and live like Jesus lived. The presence or absence of Christ-like character and integrity in our lives is summed up by answering one big important question. Do I do what's right when no one is watching? Do I live what's right when nobody else is around? And that's ever since I was a teenager and heard my youth pastor say that about integrity. I've always thought of that when I think about integrity. Who am I when nobody else is around, right? I can be one way in front of everybody else, but when nobody else is around, what am I doing? How am I thinking? How am I acting? How am I living that out? Amen? That makes sense to you guys? So that was good. Well, tonight, guys, we'll jump into this lesson. This week, we're going to learn about a key ingredient and a key ingredient that enables us to live out that Christ-like character, the convictions, the conduct that we're striving for. And this element of character, essentially, it fuels our integrity. Okay, think about it that way. This character essentially fuels our integrity. And it's the key ingredient required to live a life of character and integrity. And the key ingredient is courage. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is courage. All right? When I say courage, who is somebody or something that comes to your mind when I say courage? What's that? A soldier? Yeah, absolutely. Right? The lion from the Wizard of Oz? I like that. There you go. Courage. There we go. What else? Yes.
I don't know why, but childbirth does.
Yep. I watched my wife do that 3 times. She definitely had some courage when it came to that. Anybody else? Yeah, absolutely. God tries to remind him of courage a few times in that chapter, doesn't he? Well, that's good. That's good. Well, tonight, that's what we're talking about, courage. And so we're going to jump right in and look at what courage is. In your notes, courage is the authentic, spontaneous act of self-sacrificial concern for the defenseless. And it says here, it's not fanaticism, which is excessive enthusiasm and intense, uncritical devotion, but character. It's character, right? It's being able to act on what you see, having the courage to act on what you see and live that out, right? Courage is the willingness of the mind necessary to act out of conviction rather than feeling. Anybody feelers in this room? I'm a feeler. I feel everything, right? I think we all have that emotion of feeling things. There's certain days, right, when you feel patience towards people, and then there's those days when you don't feel that. You feel more impatience towards people, right? Sorry, am I walking in the screen here tonight, guys? If we do everything based on our feeling, that's probably not going to turn out too well on certain days. On one day, it might be great, and we're having a great day, and everything's going according to plan. The kids woke up on time. Everybody got dressed and had their breakfast when they were supposed to. Everybody got in the car on time, and you got them to school on time. And based on those feelings, things are going pretty good. That's a good day. But how many of you know maybe the next day it doesn't work out that well, right? And we get up a little bit late, or somebody spills their cereal all over their clothes, and they have to go get changed. And we're not feeling so hot because we're getting the kids to school late, right? It'd be bad if we did everything based on our feelings, because our feelings are up and down. We're human beings. Some days we're great, and some days things are not so great. And the willingness of the mind necessary to act out of conviction, right? There's a courage there to act out of conviction, even when I don't feel great today. Even when I want to strangle that boss, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to act out of my conviction and not how I feel today, and I'm frustrated today, or whatever that may be, right? And so that's what courage is. Courage is also that willingness to deny my own flesh, right? Because our flesh, it wants what it wants. It's selfish, right? Our sinful flesh and sinful nature. The willingness to deny our own flesh and do what is right and noble, regardless of the cost. Regardless of the cost. I want to show you a picture here. I think it's the next slide. There we go. This is my wife's grandfather, Dan Gillian, and his wife, Betty Gillian. They live in Missouri. These are my 3 kids. This was taken about actually, 2 years ago this month, we were in San Antonio and hanging out with Ellie's family. And I'm showing you this picture because when I think of courage, I think of this gentleman right here. And I asked him a couple years ago if I could share this story. I first heard this story after Ellie and I got married, and I just think it's so cool, just the courage it took for this man to do what he did in this situation. He's a farmer from Michigan. He farmed for years, and he'll tell you all about farm country. Anytime you sit down with him, he's going to talk to you about tractors, and he's going to talk to you about farming, and he's just an incredible man, and he loves and serves the Lord. And years ago, when my wife was in like middle school, high school, him and some buddies, some guys that were other farmers in Michigan, they went in together and they bought a massive farm up in Minnesota. It was one of these deals that it was like a slam dunk. It was just a great deal, great price, everything lined up. And and they bought this massive hundreds of thousands of acres, I think, farm together up in Minnesota. Well, some things went kind of haywire. It was during the 1980s, I believe. So my wife probably wasn't in middle school. She was probably younger than that. But anyway, there were some things done, some decisions made, and it made life hard on farmers at that time. And what seemed to be like a slam dunk, everything just started kind of going haywire and going the wrong direction for these guys. And they had all borrowed a lot of money, put in a lot of invested of their own money into this farm. And for Dan, he invested a lot of his own money, but he also borrowed money from back home in Michigan to buy his piece, to buy his part into this farm. And again, things just went bad, and they ended up losing this farm. And all the other guys, they're all good guys, they basically cut their losses. Many of them filed for bankruptcy, and it was just a bad deal. It happened to some really great guys. Well, I remember Ellie telling me the story that her grandfather, he borrowed some money from some people there in Adrian, Michigan, where they're from, and he was determined, and he paid every single person back, like thousands and thousands of dollars. And she told me about, like, it was a season in his life where he should be doing well and retiring and all that, but him and that lady, she worked two or three jobs, worked at a bakery early in the morning, and then worked at a daycare the rest of the day. He continued farming. He worked at a local college and did mowing. I mean, he worked multiple jobs for many, many years, and they made sure that they paid every single person back, every dime, every penny that they borrowed. And they could have done what the other guys did, you know, and cut their losses and just moved on, but it was so important to him that he had the integrity and the character. I borrowed this. I owe them this money. It's not their fault that things didn't work out. I'm going to pay them back. And I love that story about him. And that took a lot of courage on Dan Gillian's part to do that. And I love that guy. And I loved him before that. But when I heard that story, that's just incredible. And that's what courage is, regardless of the cost. I mean, he could have just been like, hey, this happens to people sometimes. I'm just going to cut my losses and move forward and do what the other guys did, but he didn't do that. He wanted to make sure that he paid every single person back. And that's what we're talking about. It takes courage to live out the character and the integrity and that Christ-like character that we talked about last week that Courtney talked about, right? It takes great courage. Here's what courage is not. Courage is not bravery. Now, that may surprise some of us. Now, you might be thinking, you know, we mentioned a soldier. And those guys, people that are in military, that have been in the military, that are in the military, it takes great courage, obviously. And it takes great bravery to do what they do. But many times, I think many people miss the greater truth of courage by thinking it is solely in terms of bravery. It's actually so much more than that. Courage is far more than valor in the face of danger. There's a great quote by Mark Rutland, a book called Character Matters. And he said this: heroism in the face of danger may be a momentary burst of instinct, not reflective of true character. Some people are simply bolder than others by nature, right? That's true. We agree with that, right? Sometimes public heroes in war or even in athletics later live unproductive and even destructive lives. We've seen that, right? I think about athletes, right, that we idolize because they have so much courage to be to put their body on the line in a football game, and they have great courage, right? But yet they live their lives in such a destructive way, and it's so sad sometimes. And he goes on to say, such people were never truly courageous. They were just simply brave. Now, don't get me wrong. Bravery is a great thing. In a moment when needed, bravery is important. It's huge, right? But let's not confuse bravery with courage. Does that make sense to you guys? Courage is also not the feeling of fearlessness, right? Courage is not the feeling of fearlessness. Courage and heroism are not exactly synonymous. To confuse prudence and cowardice is extremely dangerous. How many of you have been courageous in something, whether it was an act or even a decision, but you were scared to death? I know I have been, right? I've had to have some courage to make a decision or to do something. And I was nervous. I was scared. I was fearful even in the moment, right? So courage is not fearlessness, okay? It's also, there's a distinction between a hero and an obnoxious show-off. right? And that difference is character. That's the difference between the two. Between a hero and just somebody just trying to show off, it's actual character of that person, okay? I think about people in the Bible. Many people show great courage. David has just really, as I was preparing for this, has come to my mind so much. He showed a lot of bravery, a lot of courage. He was courageous, but he wasn't careless. And I love that. If you see and you read some of the things that he did that took great courage, he wasn't careless about it, though. And I think that's something for us to remember tonight. As God is calling each and every one of you towards Christ-like character, it's going to take some courage, or some courage, but you don't want to be careless, right? There's a difference between acting courageously and carelessly. Ask anybody who works with wild animals, right? I mean, think about that for a minute. They'll be quick to explain the difference to you. It takes great courage to handle a venomous snake, right? That takes a lot of courage that I don't want to sign up for. But if they're careless, what could happen? It could cost them their life, right? So it takes great courage, but they better not be careless because it could cost them something, right? So let's move on. Next thing. What does courage do? What does courage do? Courage is the first and the greatest element of character. It's the first and greatest element of character. This is very important. It takes courage to act on virtue. In other words, character, right? It takes courage to act on that character, on that integrity, to make the right decisions and do the right things at the right time, right? It takes great courage. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, in other words, not make us fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. What does it say? Be courageous and be strong. Do everything in love. And then the final thing here, what does courage do? Courage is the catalytic agent. It's the catalyst, right? Agent that summons every other virtue. Every other character trait of a Christ-like follower into action in the face of temptation or crisis. We all face crisis. We all face times of temptation. But it's courage is that becomes that catalyst that summons every other Christian virtue, character trait, character virtue that we need when we get hit by temptation or crisis. That same book I was telling you about by Mark Rutland, he tells the story of a contractor who bid for a new home, and he was super excited. And then all of a sudden, he realized that the materials that were asked for were going to cost a lot more money, and then there was some of the materials went up in cost. And all of a sudden, he realized when he ran all the numbers that if he used those particular materials at that cost, he wasn't really going to make much of a profit after he got done. And so he was faced with a decision to do one of two things. He either did it anyway, right, and had the right integrity and was true to his what was asked of him, or he probably could have went and got some cheaper materials. Customer probably would have never even known, and he could have done that. But yet he chose not to. He had the courage to do what he said he was going to do, right? And so honesty is the virtue, the character trait resident, but it takes courage to put honesty into action. And for that contractor, for that gentleman, he wanted to put honesty into action. And so he chose what was the right thing to do in that moment, right? And so that's what courage does for us. Let's talk about the different kinds of courage. Going back to David, love the story of David. I'm sure many of you have heard the story of David. Every time I read more and more about David or read a story like David and Goliath, I see things in it that I never saw before or things stick out to me. That's what I love about the Word of God, right? And, you know, I was thinking today about this idea, this topic of courage, and thinking about David in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And chapter 17 really stuck out to me. And this is young David. Chapter 17, what happens in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel? Anybody know? Take one guess. It's David. What's happening in this story? Well, yeah, but David and Goliath, okay, in chapter 17. In chapter 16, we read about him being anointed as the future king, right? Samuel anoints David. And I love that story where it's the true underdog story. He's got all these brothers that are older, bigger, stronger, you know, handsome guys. And Samuel shows up because the Lord sends him to this house to anoint the next king. And he's nervous because Saul's still king, and he thinks if Saul finds out, Saul's going to get me if he finds out what I'm doing. He shows up at the house, and Jesse, David's dad, gets all his boys lined up. Everybody except two. Because where's David? He's out in the field tending to the sheep, right? Because he's kind of the runt of the family. He's the young one. And dad doesn't even think about him. He doesn't even invite him into the house. He's got all the other brothers. They line him up, and he goes to each one. Surely it's the oldest. Nope, God says no. Don't look at his stature. Don't look at his outward appearance. He says, look at the heart, right? And he goes down the line, and it's not any of these brothers. And he's like, hey, do you have another son? And he's like, yeah, I've got one, but he's out in the field. He's the youngest. And he calls him in, and it's him. It's David, and he's the one who gets anointed king. What I love about that is he could have been like, ooh, look at me, right? I'm the new king, and I don't have to do anything anymore. I'm, you know, brothers, you need to stand attention. I'm the new king. I might have been the youngest, but now you gotta serve me. And he could have got big-headed, but he didn't. What did he do? He ended up going right back out into the field. Because you read right after that, when Saul summons for someone to come play some music for him, it says in the scriptures they had to go get David. Where was he? He was still back out in the field. I love that about him. I love that about his character, that he could have been like, hey, I'm the big time now. I'm going to be the future king. But he goes right back to work, to dirty work, right? It goes back to tending to the sheep, and I love that. And then we go on to chapter 17, and you know the story of him showing up to bring his brothers who are at the battle lines between the Israelites and the Philistines. And his brothers are at war with this Philistine army, and they got this big guy, Goliath, this giant, who's calling them out. Nobody's brave enough. Nobody has the courage to go out and face this giant. And you know the story. He ends up saying, well, I'm going to do it. Who is this giant Philistine who defies our God? And he's just bad-mouthing God, bad-mouthing the Israelites. And David's had enough, this young guy. And he says, well, I'm going to face him, and we know the story. My favorite line in that story is in verse 17, is that once he gets to the battlefield with Goliath, he runs to the battle line. And I love that. And it just shows that he had what? He had incredible courage. And where did that courage come from? It came from, a lot of it also came from his heart for the Lord, right? And his godly character and integrity. And so why I bring all that up is because he's a great example that one kind of courage that you're going to see in your notes is momentary courage. There's times when we have there's courage that we need in that moment. And in that moment, David needed courage, and he had it. God gave it to him. He had it. He ran to the battle line, right? King Saul tried to put armor on him. It was all too big for him. It didn't fit him. And it's kind of funny when you think about it. I don't need a sword. I don't need a shield. I just need my little slingshot. I need my little rocks and my little pouch and my slingshot, right? And it had to be kind of comical to everybody until that moment when he slayed the giant. But he comes to the line, and he's got that courage. In the face of temptation, for you and I, in situations in life, you choose to act and or react with Christ-like character rather than respond and behave sinfully. Right? And we may not be running to the battle line with a giant, but that temptation that you're facing tomorrow, that situation, that issue that you may be facing, it may seem like a physical giant to you. Maybe it's a temptation that you've struggled with for many, many years. And there's that moment that you have a decision to make. And are you going to allow the Lord to give you the courage that you need in that moment to have the Christ-like character and integrity in your life? Does that make sense, guys? So there's those moments when God helps us, and it's a question, are we going to have that? A situation arises that tempts you to go against your moral and ethical code that we talked about last week, your Christ-like character, but you choose to do what's right when no one's watching instead of what feeds your sinful flesh, right? Now, this was a battle we're talking about between a young boy and a giant in a battlefield. But for us, I'm kind of talking more about a temptation. As I said, it could be just that struggle in our head. It could be a battle with anxiety. It could be all these different things. What's going to happen in that moment? Are you going to have that momentary courage as David did? Look at how David had momentary courage to take on, you read earlier, a lion that tried to take the sheep, right? He killed a lion with his bare hands, a bear with his bare hands, and now a giant. He had courage in that moment. God helped him with that. The second kind of courage, as we get closer to finishing here, is daily ongoing courage. There's those momentary moments when you just need it in the moment, but then there's that daily ongoing courage. And you know, I love that about David. Later on, we find out after David and Goliath, now he's even more famous, right? Now he could really have a big head now. He could really be like, ooh, look at me. I just killed the giant Goliath. But yet we read on about how he doesn't go and take the crown, does he? Right? Saul's still king. In fact, he doesn't go and steal it. In fact, there were moments when Saul is chasing and trying to kill David because he knows who David is and who he's going to become. And David runs from him when he probably, if he killed a giant, if he killed a bear, if he killed a lion, I think he could probably take on King Saul, but he doesn't do it. And so there's not just that momentary courage that he needs, but there's also that daily courage that he had many days when he even snuck up on Saul in the cave just to let him know, hey, I could have got you, but I didn't, right? And so that took great courage too, but it's that daily ongoing courage. Those who stand up day after day under withering criticism need a far greater kind of courage than a once-in-a-lifetime hero momentary kind of courage. Make sense? It's just that ongoing courage that we need every day just to get through the day at our job and deal with the people that we work with maybe or the situations and circumstances that we're living through. I love what Mark Rutland said about this. He said, courage extended in an enduring crisis is character's most painful and most profound engraver. Isaiah 54:4, do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Right? God is with us every day in every moment of that ongoing everyday courage. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Okay? Examples of daily courage are what? I think of things like a preacher who must preach the truth, even when it may not be hard to deliver that, right? I think of the businessman who chooses to be honest even though it's going to cost him, right? That happens. That's real life sometimes for people. You know, I think of the girl or boy who chooses not to listen or laugh at the bad jokes at the lunch table, you know? That takes everyday normal courage that we have to live through every single day. And as we kind of finish up, guys, we're going to go into some group work. But before I do that, I kind of want to give you just one more quick thing that is not in your notes. Is that okay? I'll give you a freebie. And I thought of this today, three expressions of courage, okay, to kind of finish up. Number one is this. The first expression is the courage to say no. I just felt like for some of us in this room tonight, maybe you need to hear that. Maybe it's just the courage to say no. Sometimes you have to have courage to say no. Don't allow the many good opportunities in life to divert your attention away from the one opportunity that could be the greatest potential in your life. Does that make sense? It takes courage to do that, to say no to a lot of good things in order to say yes to the great thing that has so much potential. It takes courage, but learn to say no to the good so that you can say yes to the great. You ever heard that quote before? It's so true. It is really the courage to have laser focus, and that's hard to do sometimes because there's a lot of good things out there. Right? There's a lot of good guys, ladies, as a relationship, right? Or a lot of, you know, guys, there's a lot of good ladies, but God has that one incredible person for your life. I think of that. You know, I think of there's a lot of good jobs out there, but maybe it might be that God's got this other thing for you that's great. Does that make sense? So sometimes it takes great courage just to say no. Often the reason we won't say no is because we're so afraid. We fear disappointing people. We fear being passed by. If I say no all the time, I'm going to get passed by at work. I'm going to get passed by in this situation. We fear missing out on a good opportunity because we don't think another one's going to come along. It takes courage, but choose your opportunities carefully. Many opportunities are worth missing. Just learn to say no. Make sense? Okay. The second expression of courage is this, courage to face current reality. And this one's tough. Sometimes we just have to face the current reality. Sometimes that's our choices have gotten us in our current reality. Sometimes it's not our fault, right? But I think it takes great courage to just face your current reality that some things need to change or I need to do some things differently. That takes a lot of courage for people. Facing the painful truth requires a lot of courage. Designing and implementing a strategy for change in your life is a waste of time until you have discovered and you embraced your current reality. And for some of us, there's some things about our current reality that we need to move on, and we need to say no to, and we need to let go of. If you don't know where you really are, it's impossible to get to where you need to be and where you want to be. You don't know, what you don't know can kill you. This takes great courage. Why? Because it can be nasty, dirty, painful work to realize that, man, my circumstances, my current reality, this is not where I want to be. I want to make some things different. I want to change some things, right? Also, usually this can't be done successfully without the help of others in your life. Can I throw that out there? It's tough to change your current reality by yourself, and that's why we need each other. That's why we need your table. That's why you need your table host. That's why you need groups that we offer here at Timber Creek Church. That's why you need other men and women in your life that are strong believers that are going to help you get out of that current reality. Okay? Here are 7 commandments. I wish I'd made this up, but I read this in a book by Andy Stanley. He said, here are 7 commandments of current reality that I believe will give you the courage to face your current reality and then do something about it. Thou shalt not pretend. Thou shalt not turn a blind eye, right, to my current reality. Thou shalt not exaggerate. How many of us do that? You know, exaggerate the situation. Oh, it'll be all right. Or, oh, that's okay. It's okay that they treat me that way. It's okay that that happens. Thou shalt not shoot the bearer of bad news. God's going to use people, right, to come to you and just love you enough to tell you your current reality, that's not your God-given potential. You're worth more than that. You're better than that, right? Thou shalt not hide behind the numbers. Thou shalt not ignore constructive criticism. We all need that in our life. Thou shalt not isolate myself. That one's tough, right? We isolate ourselves, right? And so that's the courage to face your current reality. The third expression, the final one, I'll be done, expression of courage is the courage to dream. It doesn't matter who you are in this room, Grow Track 2. It doesn't matter how old or young or whatever. It doesn't matter what your past is, was, whatever, or even what your present circumstances are. God has a dream for you. He wants you to dream. You need to have the courage to dream. You must allow your mind to wander outside the boundaries of what is and begin to create the mental picture of what could be and invite God into that process. Because he's got God-given potential for every one of you in this room. This can be scary, right? You know, especially if God calls you to do something crazy. If he asks you to do something you've never done before, outside of your comfort zone, and it requires great courage. The individual that accomplishes great things will not always be the most talented and the best educated. It will be the one who refuses to put brackets on his or her thinking, right? We've got a dream. It will be one who refuses to do those, the one who refuses to limit himself or herself by what others have done or have failed to do, right? Dreaming takes courage. I know this, that on the heels of every dream is going to come a demon, and that demon of doubt. You ever experienced that before? God's given you this dream, or you have this dream to go do this, and there's this doubt that sets in. And if you allow doubt or fear to overshadow your dreams, you will never try anything new or create anything new. And so I just wanted to leave that with you guys. That's a little extra. Courage, right? But most importantly, the focus tonight, guys, is we want to get you thinking towards Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct in your life. That's what Grow Track 2, we're trying to push you in that direction. And in order to live out that character, that integrity, you got to have a lot of great courage. And so I hope that makes sense for you guys tonight. So what we're going to do, we got a few minutes here, right, James? We've got about 10 minutes, 5 minutes. What do you think? You tell me. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do about, y'all okay with about
8:15? Why don't we do 5 minutes, and then we'll come back up and kind of talk through these, and then we'll close it up. Is that all right? Okay, so you guys have got some group work here. You're going to look up some examples below here at your table and answer the following questions with your group. And they deal with what we talked about. They talk about courage and discuss the questions for reflection as a group as well. Sound good? And then we'll come back up and close here in a minute.
All right, guys. Hey, can you cut the music, Maurice? All right, guys. I know you are still talking at your tables, but we want to be good stewards of your time, and it's almost time to go. So we're going to go just by table, one question per table. So for 1 Samuel 14, verses 1 through 13, number one, what is happening in the story? Who wants to answer that? Joanna? Okay. Yeah. So what are they doing? What are they doing though? What is Jonathan and them doing? All right, fantastic. Anybody else? Maurice? Mm-hmm. What kind of courage is being displayed? Momentary courage. And just think, it's Jonathan and his armor bearer attacking the Philistines. All right. Sorry, guys, but we got to move along. Genesis 6, verses 9 through 22. What's happening in the story? Who wants to answer that one? Who's building the ark? True question. Who's building the ark? Yeah, right. What type of courage is being used for in this story? What type of courage is Noah displaying? That's right. It's a long, long process, right? You got to think he was also ministering and preaching to people throughout that time as well, doing what God called him to do. And so that was a daily on. And you can imagine the people mocking him because he's sitting there building this ark, and they're like, well, where's the rain? So, you know, that did take daily ongoing courage. So, all right, then the next one, actually, I'm going to let you guys take this home. Question for reflection. Describe a situation in your life right now that requires one or both types of courage. I heard some really good conversation at this table. And what is God asking you to do in that situation? So take this home and just pray on this and write your thoughts down on this. What is God asking you to do? And remember that courage comes in. There's many forms of courage, but courage, and for me, there's spiritual courage where it takes to doing what is right in the eyes of God. What God, being obedient to God every day, that's a form of courage. Doing that right thing every, no matter what situation you're in. All right, so great responses, guys. Love the food. Did y'all enjoy the food tonight? All right, fantastic. All right, so. This week's scripture, y'all had a freebie this week, but this week's scripture for memorization is Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So take your, so please memorize this verse, continue to work on the reflection, and then for our homework, for SOAP, it'll be Romans 5-9, guys. All right. I'm going to pray us out, and you are free to go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive, that it's God-breathed, God-inspired, and that it is all truth. There is only the truth that comes out of your mouth, and that Jesus told Satan that man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, that we can trust in your word and that we always depend on your word and that we will not be deceived if we stay in your word, Lord. Lord, I thank you for this food that we received tonight. I thank you for the fellowship of all these believers in here, Lord, and I pray as they go out of this room tonight that you will help them in this journey of courage, that courage will be displayed in not just a momentary courage, but an ongoing daily courage in all our walks, Lord, and every day that we do, every place that we go, everything, everyone that we minister to, whether it be our jobs and at home, no matter what, always doing what you have called us to do and doing it by your word, doing it by the power of God, and that we depend on your power and not our own, Lord. And I pray for them for safe journey home. And we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Stephen and the word that you spoke through him, God. And we love you, Lord, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Love you guys. Hey, remember, no class next week. We'll see you the week after.